all this extra stuff at the beginning.
He's
I wanted
taking
to,
notes, so you better be accurate.
He's taking. He's making a list. Bob's got a list.
Well, I said that I was going to do this about 5 years ago.
I'm going to sit next to you each time so that I can look at your list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still can you put those descriptions down?
I do have something.
Let's see where we're at. I just sent out a tweet. I got the chat room open, but nobody's in it because nobody cares. I got
okay. I'm so sorry.
Otherwise, I'm a coin. I'm not a coin.
Oh, no.
It'll tell you.
The names are important, aren't they?
Especially mine, everybody misspells it. Data, whatever, not automatic update, automatic message that says, oh, this is your, it's like a report. But yeah. I guess it's going to do it every week.
HIX!
But it's I actually like it because, you know, it lets you regulate.
I was hearing some tech journalists talk about that screen time regulation, and they set the basic limits. And it monitors what apps you're using and slaps you if you've been on it too long. Like a Facebook app, if you've been there for an hour, it'll say, hey, get off. Oh, look at that.
So that'll tell you each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, how long you were on it, which ones you were on, Messenger, Safari, FaceTime.
Yeah. So you could set that to, like, stop you at certain levels.
I guess so. I just like it just because it lets you know how long
you've been on
it. Like,
but, like, this is after the fact.
Right.
Whereas, is it telling you why?
That Maggie?
No, it tells you on Sunday what you did
in the past. Okay, yeah. So this is one portion of all
right.
this stuff.
Right.
I got you.
Like, I talked to my parents on FaceTime on Wednesday, so it's like, you know.
Right. I was going to say that's
a bit long.
Make a long story
so short. So a lot of conversations
right.
with the folks are making me feel
okay.
good.
Well, no, my parents like to see you.
Like
to see
you. Sure, sure.
Yeah, that's why now. Maybe it's about the stock market.
Do me a favor. Put your name down, would you?
My real name? Or
what's the name? Give him the one you use in club. Okay, I hit the streaming button. I got the I tweet it, and I got my topics. I'm ready to go. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good. All right. Well, this is the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions.
Thank you.
And we meet each week Tuesdays from 9:15 to 10:15-ish. To talk about tech topics that would affect our lives, retired and living in Mexico. And I've brought some topics like I typically do, and I'm open to any topics and questions you guys might have brought along. So is there anybody that wanted to ask some questions?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, and let's not forget about Mike. He's out here with two hands up, too.
His must be more important.
I only want to talk about shopping Amazon Prime.
Because it's almost Christmas, I'm sure.
Yes. I need a costume immediately. But anyway, I tried going on it, and I figured out that my phone number wasn't going to work from the U.S., so I had to do something else there. And then I figured out that I can't use my credit card. In a U.S. credit card for Amazon Prime here. That you.
You are so right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the only solution I found so far is you can go to OXXO and get an
Amazon card.
Debit card. Debit card with OXXO, and you can pay your bill with that.
Okay.
That's the only thing I haven't done. I just found out about a minute ago. I saw it online, kind of figured that. So I stopped in. I think it's doable. I got to. Look up some more this afternoon, but does anybody have any?
Well, you know what I ended up doing in that circumstance is I ended up giving them my Cibanco debit card to authorize that I could pay for it, and then I removed the card and paid. I'm certain I paid for it with my credit card. That was in the account from my Amazon account.
You can't use a Cibanco card without presenting the card.
Yeah, yeah, I can.
I went and opened up an account at Bankomer.
At Bankomer, okay.
And I got a.
Yeah. But I bet you could do
ATM card that you can
You might be able to use an Amazon card. That's something that's available in every Oak, so you might be able to buy an Amazon card.
I asked for one of those today, but they gave me something else that's called a...
Like a Visa. Oh, okay. But it's like a Visa. It's like a Visa? Is that how it gets used?
Totally debit.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to start out with $50 in cash and then keep going from there.
You said you were very specific. You said a debit card. You use a debit card. How about a credit card?
That's what I'm saying. You can't use a U.S. credit card.
Can you use a debit card then?
No, not US.
If it's US, probably not. I ran into that problem when I went to buy Prime the very first time, and I just immediately grabbed my Cbanco card. But then when it came to paying for the service, I think I used the credit card I had on file, and later I removed my debit card for Amazon Mexico.
Yeah, your Amazon card.
My Amazon Mexico side of things. When you try and buy Mexican Prime, they ask for a...
But I'm wondering if your Amazon credit card works.
Your Amazon credit card from the United States or from Mexico?
U.S.
Yeah, it would be interesting, but the way Amazon's been doing things, I would bet not.
Probably not.
I would bet not. In the same vein of how they have released all these Roku products to be available in the Mexican market, but they don't have their own products ready to participate, to compete.
Fire Stick's not available?
There's one Fire Stick available in Mexico from Amazon. It's the old Fire Stick, and it's at an unreasonable price. But the entire line of Roku for Latin America is available. Their competition is completely available for sale from them, but their own line of products is not.
Okay, so...
I'm sorry, Bob, but that's just like a metaphor for the way...
That might have been the agreement they signed to allow their product to work here.
Irving,
have you bought on Amazon Mexico?
Have I what?
Bought on Amazon Mexico?
I have.
And what'd you use?
Wait, we're talking about Prime. Do you have Prime with...
Yes.
Okay.
I do. Well, I discontinued them because they were using DHL for the deliveries, which never got there, or you had to go to Glymis, and they had a very, very bad system. I requested that they don't use them, with FedEx and Estafeta works fine. But they continue to use DHL, and then you don't get your products.
No, we're asking how you paid.
Well, I didn't do it. Well, I don't remember, and that means it wasn't a hassle. I just did it. I probably paid with my PayPal.
Oh, I bet that would work too. Yeah, that might work too.
Was that what I paid?
You have PayPal?
If
okay, so
let's see, can you pay Prime? Hold on, Prime with PayPal.
Your credit card.
And go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're talking about assumptions right now.
This is all assumptions.
What? Since you can't call Amazon, there's no phone number.
Hey, okay. Amazon expands payments to take PayPal, which is new. You didn't used to be able to buy things from Amazon with PayPal.
Is there a PayPal in Mexico?
Apparently they've been... Okay, this is an article from 2 years ago.
It's not that new.
Well, it's new to me. But they definitely did not take PayPal forever, and so they started taking it in 2016. So Irving could have very well used PayPal to pay for it.
eBay.
Right, yeah. I think that's why they didn't take PayPal for many years.
You can use OXXO as a shipping address, too.
Oh, you can?
However, there's a theft problem.
And as a counter...
That's the article I read yesterday. Your local OXXO can accept delivery, but there has been a theft problem.
Yeah, I've read that.
So, a counterpoint to Irving's experience, I've never had a DHL problem. I do not use my Ranchito address for deliveries. I use our office address, which I think is much easier to find, and so I'm not... I don't tempt fate. I have it delivered to it.
We've had delivery at Cuesta from DHL
with no problems.
No problem.
Yeah, I the only packages... I've had two packages that never made it to me. And one was in customs. It never left customs. It was there for weeks. And I called I actually set up an appointment, a phone call with Amazon where they called me and just canceled it. And he's like, Jesus, still not there. It's been weeks. Yeah, canceled it. And then the other package never left China. So so I was able to cancel that easy enough.
The problems of not getting the service was atrocious. I go to Guaymas and I tell me, okay, they traced it, it's in Hermosillo, come back in two days. And it never arrived.
I got to tell you, Ernie, I buy stuff on Amazon Mexico all the time. I never specify any shipping except free.
Well, you have a good address, obviously.
And we have had just excellent experiences with it. You're reminding me, I did have one time that we got a message saying we weren't there to receive it when we knew we were there to receive it. And they would not deliver it again, even though they were coming back to San Carlos. And so we had to go into Guaymas to get it.
Amazon customer service.
Yeah.
Oh!
Maybe my address.
Okay. 1-888.
It may be. You might just choose a friend's address or some address. If you want, you can use my office address. You just send it there. Because we're there most times, most days, 9 to 5.
Well, I don't know about how it works.
Well,
thank you.
Here's another one.
If it'll work, it'll work. Otherwise, I send it to Mariposa.
Thank you.
To the U.S. And
280.
People come down and nothing
yeah.
like that.
280-433.
You know what I've recently really enjoyed is that you can surf the American side.
Super.
And you can have your Mexican address set as your default address. And each item that you come across, it will tell you right there in the price breakdown whether they will ship to your address in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go to the Mexican Amazon. Now, the Mexican Amazon does, it has the disadvantage of presenting in Spanish, so you have to use a browser like Chrome to translate it in line. But it has the advantage of showing you what's actually available, the full collection of what's available in Mexico.
Okay, so please review. If you want something shipped to Mexico and you order it, do you have to have Mexico Prime or can you do American Prime?
You cannot use Mexican or American Prime to ship to Mexico. You need Mexican Prime.
You do.
Yeah.
And that's an additional cost over and above, right?
Well, it's less than $50 a year.
It's $50.
Yeah. It's like half the price it is for Prime in the United States. But then I mean, that's the thing is, if you buy stuff as often as we do, the shipping price easily led up to the Prime price. But there is still stuff, there are still products that we find that aren't supported by Prime in Mexico, and we have to pay shipping.
So is shipping really a big deal in Mexico?
Sure.
I mean,
it's a real thing now, yeah.
Well, I know, a real thing, yes.
Yeah.
But is it super high if you have to pay?
It can be.
It can be.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. I was looking at stuff being shipped from Mexico City, and it ranged, depending on the size, it easily ranged between tens to hundreds of dollars to ship something, depending on what size it was.
How do you ship out of Mexico?
By burro.
I buy U.S. postage down here. Hand off a package to somebody.
What is Debbie?
Put it in the box at Rose's Canteen.
I know, but I can't buy the postage. They won't let me.
That's true. Stamps.com?
You should have brought stamps with you.
I tried online. They
keep rejecting. Can you turn on your VPN?
Sometimes
yeah, that.
I got the DNS.
Well, that's where they probably don't work that type. Which DNS?
She has to
have that has a VPN service.
She has a lot of people.
You
could San Francisco.
Try that.
You could crank that on and see if that makes a difference. You might make an announcement out to like Viva San Carlos or the San Carlos board, and just say you're looking for postage. Anybody have any solutions?
She never said buy before you come.
Yeah,
I had one problem with DHL one time. I'd wait for a package for a week, and I call them up finally, and they said, "Well, your driver's been on vacation."
Really? That's funny.
That's
great. I think that one time they wouldn't bring the package back to San Carlos it was so slow, there just was no reason to go to San Carlos, and they were insisting we go get it. I really believe that was the reason, is they didn't want to waste going out to San Carlos for one prep, one package.
And that was DHL.
And that was DHL, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they'll have Amazon lockers. They don't take credit
cards. That's what they need, don't they? They need Amazon lockers at OXXO.
In Mexico?
Yeah.
Be careful where I put them. They work really well in Tucson.
Yeah.
I love it. We were renting, and if nobody's home, they won't leave it. They'll leave it with the office, and if the office is closed, then what? So I started using the locker, and that's really great.
Now, I'm really caught off guard. They did such a great job, and then it must be the economy, but we've got a ridiculous number of Amazon thefts happening now. In Anchorage, all summer, all we heard was news about people ripping off packages on people's... Yeah, and actually Ring, which is owned by Amazon now, is gotten all over these neighborhoods now. So there's all these videos of people ripping off Amazon packages.
Are you talking about the locker?
No, no, I'm talking about it at the doorstep.
The doorstep.
And it really is. I mean, like the locker makes a lot of sense, or a UPS store makes
the
a lot of sense.
The locker is outside an OXXO. Think of the name of what
Circle K.
It's outside, and hopefully it's impenetrable. That kind of bothered me that it was outside.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to drop it, too.
I was going to say, Gary's back. But you're not staying. Okay.
He got in late. You'll see. It just gets the symbol.
Good to see you.
Yeah. I help support. It just gets the symbol with the cross.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
Make him pay.
I'll talk to you a little later.
Okay, Gary.
What's his name?
Just dropped off.
Gary.
Gary.
Levingston, I think, is his last name, if I remember right.
Who? What?
Levingston, I think, is his last name. Is that right?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Or it's another Gary that's
Gary
just in the crevices of my brain.
No, Gary and Tibby.
Well, I like the questions about Amazon because I'm getting ready to do my Christmas shopping too, and so I've been all over Amazon. And this year I get to shop in the States because we're going up to Pine Top for Christmas.
And are we all on your list?
Cold.
That's right. Yeah.
Cold. Oh.
Yeah. No, we're going skiing. Yeah. Or snowboarding is what I want to do. The kids took snowboarding lessons 2 years ago. I grew up skiing and have never snowboarded. And so I'm suggesting that the whole family take snowboarding lessons so we're all kind of at the same level. And Yuya's like, I'm never doing that stuff again. She's written it off. She's been skiing twice with me now. She won't ski, that's right. Thank you, I'm going to use that. That's great. No, I think for her it's more an embarrassment factor than anything else. She's, you know, she's very social and she has this image of herself. And she gets on a pair of skis and she is a 5-year-old. She is so confused. The last time I took her skiing, it ended with her bent into a pretzel going, "It's breaking my leg! It's breaking my leg! Get me up!"
Were you teaching her?
I was not trying to teach her. I was just trying to help her.
This is your daughter?
This is my wife.
Your wife?
No, my daughters are fine. They look pretty cool on snowboards.
Give her a lesson with someone other than her husband, and she'll probably...
Right, well, you know, that's what we did the first time, and I suggested a lesson the second time, but... But, no, that was the bunny hill. It took an hour to get down the bunny hill. It really did. In fact, her kids ended their lesson. It actually took longer than an hour because their kids ended their hour lesson and had skied past her on snowboards 2 or 3 times before she had made it to the bottom.
We talk about the parachute yet?
Yeah, so the parachute really redeems her credibility. Jumping out of the parachute. Jumping out of the airplane. She did the skydiving over there on San Francisco.
She did.
She did?
Yeah, she did it for her birthday. On Saturday. And
this past Saturday?
Yep.
Tell her that if she gets good at skiing, she can go helicopter skiing.
Helicopter skiing, yeah, because that's what she'd be looking for.
Do they do that all the time?
It seems like they have it going just about every weekend.
That's on my what's it called? Not bucket list, but thank you.
Yeah, your bucket list. This is one of her bucket lists, too. And she didn't let me go with her. I was interested in going with her. And she's like, no, if it's a safety issue and we can't leave the kids without a parent, I'm like, oh, no. No, that's not fair. You're going to leave me all by myself with these two?
You tried to kill her on the slopes.
That's right. It's her revenge. Bob, you had tried to get out a question earlier. Do you still have it? Did we answer it? Oh, good, good. Do we have any other topics besides my wife's extreme sports?
Does she listen to these? Yes. At one of our last meetings, you said you were going to experiment over the summer with LastPass and report to us.
Oh, good. Good, yeah.
Did you do it?
I have. I'm using LastPass now.
Cool, really.
I've been very impressed with it. It saved me a couple of times because I have services that I will sign up for nonchalantly and not even bother to try and ferret away the password somewhere in my brain or on paper or anywhere. And so I always know when I'm returning to these services, I'm going to end up going through a forgot my password scenario because I didn't bother to write it down or anything. And it's probably something simple. In fact, that's become my norm, is to put something simple into something that's trivial. Because I know I would never use a simple password on anything that was important. But I still don't remember the simple password. And so I still don't have access to it. Right, right. And so LastPass has actually changed my whole approach to the trivial things. Because I won't be approaching them... Like I need to know, like my bank, I need to know. It doesn't matter what device I might be on. I need to know it. I don't really want anybody else to know it. So that's a non-trivial thing, and I force myself to keep track of that information myself.
You didn't put that on LastPass.
I didn't. No, in fact, my bank, you might find this with your bank. My bank won't allow me to use LastPass because of the way that it goes through its authorization process. There is no way for me to store that information unless I write it as an encrypted note that I go to in the LastPass app. There's no way for it to automatically fill in my login. Now, what I was saying about the trivial stuff, it's been kind of fun because LastPass provides you with a password generator in the password field. And so if you can't think of a password at that moment, you can hit the button. It'll just generate one for you, which I think is awesome for the trivial stuff. Because now, I mean, I'm not going to write it down. I'm not going to think about it. Now I don't even have to pick a password. But I know that LastPass knows about it. So if I go back to it with a web browser using LastPass, it's filled in. I don't even know what the password is. LastPass knows what the password is. And if I need the password for any reason, then I can get into my LastPass vault and I can look up the password and see what it assigned to it.
Oh, so you can actually see it.
Yeah, you can get into your vault.
Changed every time.
Well, no, not necessarily. There isn't a change every time, but there is a reset that you can do. You can do blanket resets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So LastPass is to save passwords.
Yes, it's a service online that allows you to save passwords and more. It can do all kinds of stuff. There's a premium version. I haven't bought into the premium version yet. I'm just using the free version. They told me that I had the premium version for 30 days, and then they told me, all right, the premium has expired, and you're just rolling with free LastPass. Nothing about what I've done has changed. I was unaware that I was using the premium version before, and I'm unaware that it's missing now. I have not explored all the features. I have not put things like notes in it. I know of people that take copies of their passports and stick them in the notes field, because that's like an archive that is encrypted that gets unlocked when you use your LastPass password.
That's interesting.
And so there are people that just stick everything that matters to them in those fields. They've got a system for keeping track of credit cards that I have not explored yet. Did you have a question, Irving?
No, I was just going to say something about it because I'm looking online. The premium allows you to sync with other devices. That's what you need to replace. Otherwise, it is free.
Well, I seem to be doing that anyway. But let me tell you how I'm doing it. I've got the LastPass app on my Android device. I've got the LastPass plugin in all the different web browsers I use. There's one for Opera, there's one for Firefox, there's one for Chrome. And you sign into your LastPass password account through that plugin, and then it's monitoring your websites, looking for opportunities to authorize you. And it will authorize you if it recognizes the website, and if it doesn't, it'll give you the opportunity to save that authorization.
Okay, so if you wanted to get into the Vita board, you would go to LastPass first, and then...
Well, to set yourself up, and this is the thing, I creaked into LastPass. I didn't really understand how it was all going to work. I went to it like somebody, like a newbie. I went to LastPass.com, and I clicked the icon that said Get LastPass. I went through the sign-up procedure, and I followed their instruction to get it running on that web browser. And it worked. Then I wanted to have LastPass on my device. So I went to my device, I went to the App Store, I looked up LastPass, signed into it, and I was able to get a list of all the passwords that had come off of my experiences with the web browsers. This stuff was not very intuitive to begin with. I mean, it was going on and it was working the way it was supposed to, but there wasn't a lot of like shouting at me telling me what was going on. So I wasn't certain that I was doing it right as I was going along. And again, I was trying to have like a new user experience. So I was trying to avoid all the different things I would do as a tech. I didn't want to verify. I wanted to experience and know how blind I would feel as just somebody coming to it for the first time. And so I went on for a couple of days like that, watching as things happened. When I first signed into my app on my phone, it was completely blank. It was a void of any passwords or any sites. And I thought that was very unusual. And over a period of time, I saw that propagate off of things that I put into it. I also watched things I put into it from the web browsers on my PC. The app in my device still is very strange to me. There doesn't seem to be any auto prompting. So if I go to an app that hasn't been signed in, then it's hit or miss whether the LastPass app recognizes that that's an app that can be authorized. It works very well with web browsers on your device. So if I'm on my Android phone and I go to Opera or Internet Edge or Firefox or Chrome, and I go into Facebook.com and it asks me to authorize, that's the ideal experience for LastPass. I'm using Chrome on my Android phone or my iPhone, and I get to Facebook.com and I'm not signed into it, then LastPass will pop up and say, would you like to fill out this form? And you say, okay, and it logs you into Facebook. However, the Facebook app, it seems to be kind of hit or miss. You definitely got to make sure LastPass is running. I think that sometimes it doesn't see the app that it could authorize. And when that happens, it's not going to fill in the password for you. So your option is to go to the LastPass app and look up the password for the fill-in. So that's cumbersome.
So somebody could hack your LastPass app.
Well, let's make it clear. If someone has access to your LastPass password, it doesn't matter all this stuff I just said. They've got access to all your passwords. Yeah, I did.
So
yes, sir. Go
further, I see that you do have free access for syncing, and the premium offers is you can have a bulk of encrypted passwords that is not available. You would have your own private world and plus some tech support. And also, they're calling it 2FA options, which means that you have yours plus a second.
There you go. That makes sense. It's like what we've talked about in the past is like the next of kin. If for some reason you were to pass away, there would be this time period of inactivity in which somebody could request access to your passwords.
Up to five users.
Yeah. And so like I could set my wife or my kids to be the ones to receive my passwords if something were to happen to me, and they could make that request, or it could be generated automatically after a specific time of inactivity.
That makes it worth the premium, right?
Yeah, I think that makes sense to pay for something like that.
Well, one of the things that you've mentioned before is that there's no security anymore. Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. And yesterday we got a call.
Let's say that that infers there was security before, and I think that's an arguable point.
Well, yeah. Yesterday we got a call from a fellow who said that he wanted to talk to me, and it was a legal matter, and that kind of got my attention, and and my wife said she wouldn't have me call, so I called. And I found out that this is common right now, like you would not believe. The guy had my address. He had my Social Security number.
Oh, wow.
And he said, and you owe $1,600 to Bank America from 19 years ago.
And you believe that?
19
no.
years ago.
No. Would you believe
no.
that? I don't think Bob would
no.
believe that.
No, I didn't. But he had all the information, and I said, he asked me questions. I said, I'll ask you the questions. And he said, are you Bob Hicks? And I said, I'll ask the questions. And so then I decided maybe I better call the guy back because he had all that information. Hmm. And it's a very common thing that's happening right now.
Did you call the bank?
Let's.
No, in fact, I said to myself, Visa, 19 years ago,
here.
I'm going to ignore it.
Yeah. This come and get me.
Well, what he did suggest was call Bank of America, as they have a record of everything, or call Equifax. Equifax has a list of anything that you don't pay.
Who,
yeah.
Who suggested Equifax, you do that?
The guy he was talking
about.
No. That was Schwab. I called
Schwab. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was
going right.
to go, really?
And they said, this is so common, you can't believe it.
I was going to say that was a layer of credibility he added to himself that I couldn't imagine.
No. Yeah.
Well, three times a day I get a call from Apple saying my Apple account is corrupted. And I've never had an Apple account.
Right. I've got a magic jack, and regularly I get calls from the IRS saying I owe money.
Uh-huh. Oh,
but
you're kidding.
But there's nothing. It's a robocall.
They don't call.
They call me.
They don't.
Yeah.
No.
They send a letter.
And if you don't pay up, the local cops will come arrest you.
Right. I think it's kind of a scary precedence we've set, but I can easily say ignore all these messages. They're all triggers to scare you into doing something. They're going to have to go out of their way to be a legitimate service trying to collect or try. But if you're actually in trouble, you're going to have to somebody in front of me with a subpoena for me to believe that I'm actually dealing with a real thing these days.
And then call a lawyer to check the subpoena.
Right. What was that, Mike?
Unless they get 1/10 of 1% results.
Yeah. Right, and that's what's happening. And that's the reason we continue. And actually, you know, we're talking about fraud. There's an interesting story going on right now. It was broke by BuzzFeed, so I'm waiting to hear the fallout on how the details are, how valid all the details are. But in general, it's an amazing story about how there's this intricate plot that's been going on where third-party app purchasers have been enlisted to buy apps from developers so that they could be put into a portfolio of apps that are tracking people's behavior and mimicking that behavior with bots so that they could behave as though these apps are generating ad views to fraud ad revenue companies out of their money. So let me try that again, because it wasn't as concise as I wanted it to be. But there are apps that are used and targeted at children and teens mostly, that are being used right now for their own enjoyment by their users, that were purchased by third-party app purchasing companies that had no idea what they were going to be used for. They were just asked to go out and buy the apps. They're passed on to unknown organizations that claim the apps in their portfolio of these are the things we do. Those apps have been updated to track their users' behaviors, things like scrolling and pressing buttons in the apps, so that they can take that human behavior and mimic it with bots, so that the ad platform that delivers revenue from their app users' views of the app of the advertising appear as though actual humans are looking at the advertising. So the ad company has to forfeit the revenue. I'm having a lot of trouble finding a problem with this. I'm wondering if I can get away with writing these apps.
The bots are going after the bots.
That's right. The bots, that's a great way to put it. The bots are going after the bots. They've got automatic app users faking out ad bots into believing they're real humans so that they pay the app developers money for their audience. And apparently this has been going on for a long time. Russ is out of here. He's like, I'm done. This is, you guys thought it was going to be Terminator, and it's really going to be ad bots.
Hey, Scott?
Yeah.
I got an email a couple of weeks ago. I assumed it was from my phone company, which is also my internet. And it says your latest bill, it was $200 and some, was rejected. And blah, 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 and all this stuff. And we'll charge you more. We'll charge you a penalty if you don't pay it up. And I looked at my bank account, and the money wasn't there on the date that it should have been. So I wrote them back, and I said, that payment shouldn't have been made anyway because I canceled my thing when I left Canada. And blah, blah, blah. And they haven't written back to respond to that. And the money has been taken out of my account.
Oh, it has been?
Yeah. And I'm wondering, how could somebody else con that into their getting the money? How would they divert that from the TELUS account to their account?
Are you certain it's not a TELUS error? I mean, that would warrant some phone calls to figure out what's going on and a verification that your service has been canceled.
Well, since then, I got a bill that says zero.
Okay.
So it was paid.
It was paid and disconnected for the time that I'm gone.
Maybe there was something about the time period that you... I mean, are you saying you got charged twice?
Well, they wanted for me that. To pay it. They said it was rejected and they wanted me to repay it.
But you didn't repay it.
No.
Okay, so it sounds like they're having issues, like a Telmex type issue, and you're writing them back. They realized their error. I mean, that's what it sounds like
to
me.
Was them, it was,
yeah, it sounds like it was.
As far as they were concerned.
It sounds like it was their error. You know, I don't have a lot of experience with telephone companies other than Telmex. Like I've said before, this is my 23rd year living here. But what Telmex claims responsibility for is the last 30 days of your service. And so if anything's wrong, even like the shutoff, like if you got billed for the shutoff and you had gone in there and said, hey, I shut this off, then Telmex has the leniency to just discount that last 30 days. It's within the last 30. Dialed down your internet speed, or you turned something off, or you asked for your line to turn into two lines, whatever it might be, if you've discovered their error within 30 days, they are really quick to fix that problem. Yeah. But after 30 days, they consider it your your problem. So, like, if it was a Telmex experience and you had not successfully turned it off, like that, I think that's the concern. The concern is that you didn't successfully turn it off, and now you're expecting another $250 bill and another $250 bill. And that kind of thing used to happen all the time around here in Telmex, where you thought you turned it off, you went back to the States, and what happened is they kept a bill, a running bill. And you were paying for service that you weren't taking advantage of. And you get back after 4 months of bill and say, hey, I turned this off in June. They'll give you 30 days back. But they won't give you the 4 months back because it was your responsibility to check after 30 days they had done it correctly.
So if you come back and your phone isn't working, they will go back and credit you for the last 30 days?
You know what? They have. They have in the past.
I mean, my phone was working. My neighbor's isn't.
Well, mine wasn't. Yeah. And yeah. I've been paying.
You're a perfect person to go in there and try and get that 30 days back.
Yeah, but how much?
It's like, hey, I paid for this and my phone hasn't been working.
Yeah, and how much is your life worth?
Boy, that's that. Being somebody that makes tech support calls all the time, that is a valid question. Yep. I've had projects in front of me where I spent so much time on the phone, I could have just taken my fee and bought the product again. Yeah, how much is your life worth?
A major scam right now is people receive a check and they don't cash it. And I got caught up where they actually created a lawsuit because they didn't cash the check.
Oh, no.
Yes, they did. Oh. Yes.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, how does that work?
I sent checks. I was here in Mexico for 4 months, and I sent 4 checks, and they didn't cash any of them. I got back and found out that I had a lawsuit.
That's interesting.
Yeah, really. That happens with a lot of companies where they create.
I would be very curious to know what kind of lawsuit that is because I have got a $4.95 refund check from the IRS I've never cashed. Maybe
he's talking about paying a bill.
I'm paying a bill,
right?
And the company that he paid never cashed it.
They never.
Do you know that they received the check?
What?
Do you know that they?
No, because you don't think that you have to send everything certified mail. You don't think that. And I didn't even know, and I asked a lawyer. I said, if you send a certified check...
Oh, I get it.
Okay, and you send a certified check, only the outside envelope is certified. They don't know what's inside. But the law says that if they receive a certified envelope, then that's
they've received the contents.
They've received it.
Yeah. And I see what you're saying here is that if you don't do something like that, then they could always claim they never got it.
That's right.
And that's where exactly. The lawsuit comes
from. That's
right. From. Gotcha.
This happened to be a homeowners association.
Oh, brother.
Why aren't you using bill pay on your bank account?
What?
Why aren't you using bill pay on your bank account?
That might work.
Well, and actually, you're telling a story from how many years ago?
Last week.
2 months ago.
Oh, 2 months ago. Wow.
In fact, it's still going on.
Oh, that's messed up, Bob.
Well, it's settled, but it's still going on.
Yeah. That means you skipped the country so you wouldn't have to...
It's settled now. Come get it.
If you have a bank account in the United States, they can come get it.
I know that.
Yeah.
But they can't come get you. Yeah. It's easy.
Linda's right. You should set it up on automatic.
Yeah, she's probably right.
Doesn't even have to be automatic. You can still hold
can
control.
Yep.
Another question?
Certainly.
Okay, I live in Loma Del Mar. We have TV service with about 20 channels. And I want to record in a way that I use on Cox in the States. I want to program the thing to record the program.
Like a DVR.
Like a DVR. Is there a place to buy a DVR around here that would do that?
No, you'd have to get a TiVo.
Well, and...
But TiVo is a service.
The service that you guys... Actually, it's interesting. That idea that it's a service is gone now. You can buy a TiVo outright without paying a monthly service fee. Yeah, it's something new. We became aware of it right as Amazon was releasing that recast device. But your service in Loma del Mar, isn't that a proprietary set of channels?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there's four.
Like, you guys have chosen what...
satellite.
No.
And the rest are from Sky.
But you guys have put together the package,
yeah,
right?
Well, we buy a package. We didn't put it together.
But is it...
No, well, I mean...
I mean, like, is it a DirecTV East? Or
no, we don't have that option.
See, that's the issue, that to use a TiVo, you have to have a standard guide that you can program.
That's what I was wondering about.
And we don't.
And the park doesn't do something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so actually, if it were to work, it would work because you had multiple guides available to you. So you're ferreting through hundreds of channels trying to find the one channel that you've got in, there in the...
Yeah.
But you can set up TVGuide.com to just show what channels we get at Loma del Mar.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know whether you could... do anything with that.
It seems like with a TiVo, you'd have to pick a and I'm speculating because I've never done this, but you would have to pick a predefined guide area like Phoenix or New York or something, and then you would use that guide to do your selection of what to record, and it would have to correlate with what's on that channel at that time.
Yeah.
And that's why I say you'd probably be running through 300 channels to find the one channel that's there in the park.
The network channels that we get are from Tucson.
If they're all from an area like that, then it might be more reasonable to do.
Our PBS is from L.A.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a device. I had it prior to TiVo.
Okay.
And I used it for years. And it's just a recording device. And what I would do...
You're not going to say it's a VCR, are you?
The older VCR with the timer.
No, it was an actual, like a TiVo. It preceded TiVo. Simply, I signed up for lifetime TiVo, and then they disappeared.
Right.
Now they're back again. I probably am not entitled to it, but I have DVR. But anyway, getting back to this device, which my friend still uses, that I gave my friend in Alaska, what you had to do was just program the time you wanted it to turn on, and have the station available.
Yeah.
And that worked.
So it's like a VCR, but it's a DVR.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's everything we think of as a VCR, but it's doing it on a hard drive instead of on a tape. And that does seem to be your only kind of product that you could use, would be one that functions like a VCR. Like, you'd have to make sure your TV was tuned at that channel. Well, you'd have to make sure that device was tuned at whatever channel
at
is.
At home I have a VCR and a disc that I can record to a random access disc.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'll bring it down.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of thing that you would be trying to do. There's probably a more efficient device, though. There's probably a hard drive.
A tape here, but it has the capacity for maybe two programs. I'd have to make sure that I circulated it.
What are you trying to record?
Oh, like on CBS, programs on CBS.
You might get some satisfaction from, and I haven't looked at this kind of stuff in a long time, but just a dedicated PC, that it's a media PC, and its idea is to be able to record programming. Yeah, and it would be the same kind of deal as the kind of device we're describing, but it would be a computer whose job was to do that kind of stuff.
Do you have the same company, Roku Box? I used to record VHS all the time.
I have a quickie question.
I watched CBS online. It's not using the direct TV. No, all access.
Go ahead, Bob. What's your question?
I would like to know if you want to make a phone work down here, what business or service would be available to talk to as far as a SIM card, buying the SIM card, making it work. Telcel?
Yeah, Telcel or AT&T.
Where's Telcel?
You know, you can buy a Telcel SIM card from an OXXO for 29 pesos.
Okay.
But don't stop there, because then you'll get home and realize you should have put money on it, because it's not going to work till you do. So you gotta buy the card, and then you gotta put money on it.
Okay.
But then it'll be ready to go.
The money is good for what?
It's a prepaid.
For what? How long?
Depends how long you were. How much money you put down.
Bob, do you have a Permanente?
Huh?
You have a Permanente?
Yeah.
Why don't you just go down to Telcel and get an account?
Oh, really?
You know,
you get a lot more megabytes if you get an account than you do at OXXO.
If you're generally a main resident of San Carlos, this is a better idea.
Yeah.
I pay a third the price for the same services that my folks are getting in Alaska, and my phone works in Alaska. Mm-hmm. I get more data. I get the same calling, and I mean, what are we paying for that? I think I'm paying 399 pesos a month.
Yeah, it depends.
And I can make all the phone calls and receive all the phone calls I want internationally, or with Mexico, Canada, and the United States. Unlimited texting, Mexico, Canada, the United States.
The cool thing too is
8 gigs of data, Mexico, Canada, the United States.
So you get T-Mobile. Yeah. And you go to Phoenix, it changes over to AT&T.
Yeah. Okay.
So my AT&T works up there also, but so that
you have Mexican AT&T.
Yes. But so that my family who live in the state can call me, I have the Magic Jack app on my phone.
Yeah.
And it rang. I'm just driving down here 2 weeks ago, and it rang between. Yeah. Almost at Mosillo.
Tell me about your Magic Jack app.
I was
on
able
your
to
phone.
Talk to my doctor. And
oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Cool. Your Magic Jack?
You have an app on your phone?
I just downloaded the Magic Jack app. And it works. It works when my computer's turned off. My Magic Jack isn't even on.
Yeah, the app is awesome, because you can load it into. Great. Wow, why are we having internet problems? You can load it into any of your mobile devices and have it available. You put it into an iPad.
Get you a separate phone number to call them.
If you want.
Because I got a separate phone number, so when I'm gone, I can call Bill on the Magic Jack.
Does Vonage have an app? Does Vonage have an app?
Yes, you can get your own
phone number. Okay, does UMA have a...
Can we use our old one?
No.
Huh?
You know about UMA?
UMA?
No. Phones?
Oh, I think you had mentioned it once before in here. Yeah, I haven't gone and looked it up.
Okay. I have a question.
OOMA.
$25 a year.
OOMA.
Divide a 5-year plan.
The advantage of Vonage is that
if you buy the Magic Jack,
a sign you'll ring, where they call your United States phone and it rings by the Mexican number.
Well, wouldn't that work the same way with Magic Jack?
That's why Magic Jack doesn't offer that. That's a big feature.
Magic Jack doesn't offer that?
No.
No, but Magic Jack works here. They're still calling my Tucson.
Right, because it's across the internet.
The Magic Jack works on.
But he's talking about Vonage.
And I wanted to make another point with using a local service here while you're in the United States or Canada. I thought it would be no issue for people calling me. Apparently, in Alaska, it's a big issue for them to call my Mexican phone number. And it's only a big issue because they have no reason to have an international plan.
Exactly.
Whereas there's a lot of people in the United States, they have reasons to have an international plan. I mean, they might hop across the border, and it's part of their North American plan. But in Alaska, because they have an isolated market there, they sell plans that don't include international plans, and a lot of my friends and family have those because they got no reason to make calls to Mexico.
Right. They can call your Magic Jack.
They can call my Magic Jack, that's right. And actually, what did I do? They just call the bed and breakfast. It's forwarded to my Skype, and my Skype rings on my cell phone, and so that's how I could answer calls. So I just wanted to mention that if you're dealing with folks that are Arizona, California, Washington, there's a very good chance they've got international plans, and calling your Mexican number is nothing for them. Mm-hmm. But like in my situation, I found a lot of people couldn't easily call my Mexican number without it dinging them. It didn't ding me at all, but it would ding them.
My second question is, we were talking about printers last week, and I've got an old printer. And I go down and I get it refilled down here, my cartridges refilled, Does anybody have any HP cartridges left over in this group? I left mine in Tucson.
What number?
What number?
57?
Yeah, you'll probably need
sometimes
to post that somewhere.
Cartridges down at you can get that cartridge number down at Garcia's sometimes. He's got a lot of old cartridges in his back room.
Well, where's Garcia?
Down
next
by
Santander.
Well, and well, and to be fair, Linda, JG's computers will order cartridges.
Yeah.
And traditionally, they have always offered things cheaper than Garcia's.
He also has cartridges, too.
Who's that?
JG Computers in Guaymas Norte.
Okay, JG, okay.
And I would start there and then make my way to Garcia's. Because Garcia's, they do a really good job of finding stuff you can't find anywhere else. But they charge a premium for it.
Yeah.
It is more expensive than the other shops in town.
Can I ask a question? This is about the WhatsApp app.
Okay.
Okay. So, that is free. It works everywhere. WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes on your phone. I have a friend that also has it on his iPad, but
yes.
I can't figure out how to do it.
Okay. So, this is really neat about WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are a unique group of Americans that would be so aware of WhatsApp.
WhatsApp
because
is wonderful.
Most Americans have no idea what WhatsApp is. It is very popular outside the United States. And people are starting to become more and more familiar with it in the States.
So what's it do?
It's an instant messenger chat client.
But you can call.
You can use a phone. Yeah, you can
video
do text,
phone,
video, audio, chatting with
it's
it.
A phone.
Mm-hmm. You can send documents, pictures, basically attachments through it. I did learn that there's a 64 megabyte limit. I learned that during Yuya's birthday party. We made a WhatsApp group for everyone that was participating in the party and the skydiving. And we were all sharing photos and videos and comments all through this WhatsApp app group. And I went to put one of my videos on, and it said, no, that's too big. It was the first time that I had heard there was a limit on a video size.
But they are encrypted, which is really nice.
Yes.
That's what I was going to make.
You can put your credit card on them. You're sending somebody,
want
to send somebody.
Yeah, let's say that if you're in a position where you're being monitored, like you work for the government, you're in some, you will want to make sure you step through the right hoops to ensure there's a secure encrypted connection between you and the person that you're dealing with. But in the end, that's what's being offered through it, is that when I send you something, it sets up an encrypted channel between you and me that no one else is participating in, and that anything that transmits between the two of us is only stored on your device or my device and nowhere else.
Has anybody heard of WeTransfer?
I'm not certain about that, Gary.
Interestingly, about WhatsApp and storage, I got a message just this morning that I have too much information in WhatsApp and I needed to delete some chats or some people.
So that's in your device?
Yes.
That's not in your application, but that's actually like
you. When I clicked on WhatsApp, that message came up.
Yeah, you need to look in the amount of storage space on your device to see if you're running low.
Oh, okay.
Because it'll continue to put stuff in your space because it uses locally stored space. And that being said, those things, pictures, videos, attachments that you've sent back and forth, they are not encrypted on your device. They exist on your device, but they are not, they're encrypted in that conversation. So if someone was monitoring your conversation, all they'd get is garbledygook. But if they were able to grab your phone, then all those things would be available.
That's interesting. So
yeah.
It's probably a good idea to delete certain messages.
Well, yeah, and to take that a step farther, the messages, they are encrypted, they're on your phone. If they opened WhatsApp, they'd be able to read your messages. But pictures, documents, attachments, things that you've sent back and forth, those things reside on your phone in an unencrypted form. So even if you were to remove WhatsApp, if you'd left those in your storage area, those are available from your device. To take that another step forward, and this has happened to me a number of times with different devices in my life, I do some generic upload to Google Photos, and it just spans the storage area I have. And now I'm putting those photos and attachments up in my Google space. And so those are definitely not encrypted by anything other than my connection to Google. But however you have your Google permissions set, you've at least shared all that stuff with Google. And so the layers of encrypted security start dissipating away the more you're into this kind of stuff. Like you get, it's between you and me, and I get a download. I've got a photo. Now that photo is on my device, so it's not stored encrypted on my device. So if somebody were to grab my device, even if I didn't have WhatsApp on it any longer, they'd still have that device in front of them. They'd have access to that without anything more than your security to your device. But then if that photo ended up in Google Photos, well, now that's gotten shared up to the cloud in your Google Photos. So depending on how your Google Photos are shared, you might have just made that public to everyone, or you might have it shared with a group of people like family members. You can see how that encryption starts dissipating away from the app as you loosen your restrictions on it.
Do you have a memory card? Are you talking about your phone? Mm-hmm. Do you have a memory card in your phone?
That wasn't the issue. The issue, it was specific to WhatsApp.
But Linda's right, because that's what we're talking about as far as storage. Okay. Is wherever your stuff is getting stored, you want to see if you're running out of space, because that's WhatsApp saying there's no more local space.
Okay. You also should have a card in your phone if you're saving photos on your phone, because
I am saving photos.
You
on
can
my phone.
Pull that card out.
I try to transfer them to my computer and then delete them.
Huh?
I tried some. If I remember, I transfer the ones I want to my computer and delete the rest.
Yeah, because you can.
But they're still stored somewhere.
Okay, back to my question.
You can also,
how do
you
I
can
use
also
WhatsApp on my iPad?
A USB stick now.
Yeah, all that WhatsApp background.
Okay.
And
back to my question.
And the question is, how do you put WhatsApp on your iPad?
Yes.
Which is the same answer for how do I put it on my computer?
Yes.
My Macintosh or my PC?
Okay.
There is a WhatsApp app.
Yes.
That you download.
Yes.
And then there is this function called WhatsApp Web on the web. When you start up the WhatsApp app.
WhatsApp Web.
Well, you start download the WhatsApp app.
Oh, yeah, I think I've got it somewhere. I just don't
know. And then when you start it up, it wants you to. It'll present you with a QR code.
Yes. Okay, that's my question. What do I do?
So then you go into your mobile device. See, WhatsApp. One of the unique features of WhatsApp is it is associated with a phone service, a specific phone number. And so you don't have a phone number for an iPad or a computer. And because of all this encryption and security that they're trying to guarantee you, they need a secure method to verify that what you put on your computer is related to what you have on your phone. So when you run the app, the WhatsApp app, it pops up with a QR code, and then you have to go to your phone and bring up WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, under the main menu of contacts, in the three-dot menu,
yes,
there is WhatsApp Web.
Okay.
And when you go to WhatsApp Web, then there is an Add button in the upper right-hand corner, and you hit that Add button, and it's a picture waiting to take that QR code.
Oh, okay.
And it happens so quick. It's one of the fastest QR code readers I've ever seen, because you immediately flash it across that QR code, and the app in your computer or your iPad just immediately starts propagating all your chats and messages. And what you want to do is you want to make sure your phone is on the same Wi-Fi network as your computer, because it's taking it directly from your phone. And if you're hooked to only cell connectivity, it's going to start gobbling up your bandwidth. It may not matter, actually, now that I think about it, because if you've got a Mexican phone, I think all our WhatsApp activities are covered. I mean, if you've got a contract with a Mexican phone, then I don't think you pay extra for WhatsApp, so I don't think it costs anything. But
you don't,
but
I don't.
Yeah, in general, to stay on the safe side, to make sure that you're not wasting a lot of your cell contract, make sure you're on the same Wi-Fi okay. network.
And how do I know which is the proper WhatsApp?
Well, it should be from Facebook.
Well.
All right.
See, they aren't. That's the thing.
Oh, well, now that's interesting. I have not used it on an iDevice.
Right.
So maybe you have to do it through the browser or something. Maybe it's an add-on.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
It seems like a good question.
But now that I know how to take the picture, I've gotten that.
You have to do that QR code every time you get on, do you?
No, but I have experience. Now, I use Opera, and Opera has its own WhatsApp client in it.
Oh, wow.
And so I don't have to download a WhatsApp program because I use Opera all the time as my browser. And it gives you the QR code. And what I'm getting at is I have had experiences where it is forgotten that I authorized that. And I don't know what that's related to. If I had to speculate, I would think it's related to upgrading Opera. Every so often, I gotta do the QR code again in my Opera browser. I also have to sign into my it's got a Facebook Messenger built into Opera as well. And every so often I have to sign into that. And I think it's probably related to upgrading Opera. And so it flushes those things out of the cache and you have to put them back in. But then after they're in, they continue to function until I have to do it again. And I really just haven't figured out why I'm having to do it. But I suspect it's whenever you upgrade Opera.
I have another question.
Certainly.
They're talking about Wi-Fi electricity.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Induction. Like the sonic toothbrushes. You know how you can get a Pruva toothbrush that sits in a base station,
right,
and you pull it off and it's charging a battery, but there's no physical connection there. They use induction. They generate an electromagnetic field around a device that's intended to receive electromagnetic fields, and they use the electricity that's generated from that field to charge a battery.
Okay, is that going to be dangerous? Is that like sitting inside of a microwave?
Well, I don't expect it to be like sitting inside of a microwave, but there will be a lot of electromagnetic waves around you when they've got full home induction.
So we'll get more cancer?
Probably.
You shouldn't have a pacemaker.
Well, that's just like having a router next to your head. Or a direct sick telephone. Don't sleep next to one.
Yeah, I turn on my
I have a radiation detector that I bought because I've got Wi-Fi all through the house.
I don't know why you're worried. They have loosened all the radiation standards now with this new administration. A little radiation's good for you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the new mantra. There's... We're not going to let science screw with these opinions.
No. You can buy a radon latte on some corners in Massachusetts. Yes.
No.
Yes. That's for people that have a natural ability in
Thank
science.
You, Scott.
You're welcome, Maggie.
You don't need any book learning. You have a natural understanding of science.
Natural, yeah.
Well, that would get rid of...
I am one of those that think any of these electromagnetic waves are going to affect you. I mean, any concentration of it is going to affect you. And it may be as simple as just ions entering your brain and causing your thoughts to be ugly. It
could,
right?
Yeah, a lot of people around here.
Oh, no, change your attitude.
That's right. Actually, thank you for asking about the caps.
We need attitude.
Oh, yeah, you're good.
My mom made a whole collection of these caps for me because I'm a self-conscious balding man. And now I have a whole collection, and I've been featuring them at computer club videos. She's got all different colors and styles for me, so throughout the season you'll see me in different caps.
And you had to tell us about it because nobody even noticed.
Right.
I want to see Star Wars.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Yoda. Yeah. Yoda
Thank you, Scott.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for coming.
That was good.
Great. Yeah, I guess we're at 10:20, so our 10-ish stop time has been hit.
Your
Actually, I got a couple of my topics in. You didn't realize it. I've got a couple of topics that I had been hanging on to that we were able to get into, too, like the LastPass stuff. I think let's bring up, I would encourage people to try LastPass. Yeah, I think it's totally worth trying. You're able to organize your websites. At the very least, it's a synchronized little black book of all your passwords. And it takes some of your responsibility away from you, which is nice. That whole coming up with a password thing, I didn't know how much I was going to enjoy that. But I sit in front of services I sign up for temporarily all the time going, oh, what password am I going to use this time?
He doesn't like it if you want to use the same password on different applications.
Well, that's a very insecure way to do things, so no, you shouldn't do it. But being able to hit a button that would just generate a password for me in those circumstances is so relieving of that burden.
It's that is.
Bam, password. Save, done.
I used to use RoboForm, I paid for it, no premium.
Yeah.
But the problem with that at the time was it didn't sync, and because of that...
Right, you had to manually take it across devices.
This sounds interesting. I'm going to try to download and see if it's of any use to me.
This is really good, and there's a security expert that I have a lot of confidence in named Steve Gibson. He's been around forever. And when this software came about, he vetted it himself. He's continually vetting it. He is one of the biggest spokespeople for it, and actually ended up being a sponsor before.
How do they make them money, by the way? How do they make them money? That's the question I want.
They sell the premium. They sell, and they're owned by a company. Right now I'm forgetting who owns them, but they're owned by a company that makes money off the same stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The premium is very interesting. Like if you have an organization, you can buy a company account.
Well, I like the feature that to me that the fact that other people can have access to it in case of your demise or
that's right.
That to me.
But you can get a family plan.
And it's like $12 a year. It sounds like a fabulous feature.
That is a very interesting aspect of it.
Well, that sounds like the most interesting feature because I think there's a lot of these. You know, another reason I quit RoboForm, it was reported accurately or not that it may be spyware. I had the premium thing, but I don't know if that protects me.
I remember that going down, and there was a misunderstanding of the way things were working, but yeah.
Okay, well, so how, if I die and my wife doesn't know what the passwords are,
that's exactly what it's for.
That's exactly what it's for.
Oh,
you give her access to it.
You give her email address to LastPass,
to five people.
And she can she can go to LastPass and say, I need access. But
I'm hoping you have enough money for
that's a very that's very interesting.
She can go to LastPass and say she needs access to your account, and it will send you.
An executor would be the executor or an attorney would be the most obvious.
Right.
On that list.
Right.
So it will send you a message saying this person's trying to get access, and you have set a time period to wait to give them access so that you have time to respond to that email if it's fraudulent. And you can say, absolutely do not give access. I'm not dead. This is not supposed to be happening. If you don't make that kind of reply, then after the time period you set has spanned, then they'll send her access to all your passwords.
Right. Okay.
Next week, my brother will be visiting me, so he'll be here next week. I don't remember.
Oh, cool. Stanley, right?
Yeah, Stanley. Very good.
Yeah.
And he has an... I don't want to bring up the subject tonight, because he's bringing it down. But it's a very interesting product that we're going to discuss next week. I mean, extremely interesting.
Is it a surprise product? I'll put it on my list for next week.
Well, I'll put it on your list. Okay. It's called Grounding. You may even know about it.
Grounding?
Grounding.
What does it have to do with?
It has to do with you grounding yourself.
Grounding.
So it's
grounding.
For electricity.
It's for basically earthing. It's either earthing or grounding.
Cool.
And I'm going to have a sample of it when he comes down. He's got the one for me. You know, he comes up with a lot of stuff through the years. One that I always use, which I feel is very beneficial, is water that is lowered in pH. I forgot what it's called. Do you know about that, Scott?
Are you
water that is lower?
Like, it's called Kagan Water is the company.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of that.
Oh, yeah, they sell a machine that basically reduces the. See, I drink all the water from the tap run through this pH machine, which I feel through my research and through the years, blah blah blah, is more beneficial to your general health. So,
well, that's interesting. But I have put grounding on our list for next week, so
yeah.
Be ready for me to ask about it.
Well, my brother will be here, and he'll be talking his head off. Interestingly enough, there's a lot of stuff through the years that have come up that is beneficial that doesn't get a lot of play. I had it in my mind, it's in and out real quick. Anyway, but this falls under the realm of tech. So.
Cool. Yeah, no, especially if it's electricity related, we really care about that stuff.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, it's just me, Bob, and some stragglers. I'm going to say goodbye for now. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club.
Me too.
And I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. I'm here to help you resolve any of your computer issues, and I'm available online on the internet at internationalcs.net. If you've enjoyed this and are interested in more, please come to San Carlos Computer Club at sccclub.org. You can see news that might be posted, videos, you'll see links to YouTube stuff. We have a YouTube channel. If you are interested in the audio, we make it available as a podcast through iTunes or other podcatchers. Just do a search for the San Carlos Computer Club. I guess that's it. We'll see you next week. Tech on. Oh, I forgot to say, we're at Tequila's. Come to Tequila's. They got great food. A lot of people show up at 8:30 and have breakfast before our meeting. See you next Tuesday. Bye.
Scott, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll see you next week, Irving. You and your brother.